Baptismal Discourse.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. How plain these words ring in the consecrated ear. How beautiful they are, knowing that by one Spirit we are all baptized into the one body. And this Spirit is the same Spirit that came upon the Lord Jesus at the River Jordan. And this Spirit, friends, came down over the body members all this time, and now upon the feet members of the body of Christ. We are 11th hour virgins. And I'm sure that we appreciate very much this privilege of coming together and this outward manifestation before God and the holy angels and before this congregation to symbolize your consecration by water immersion. This one Spirit that came over the body since that time, this Spirit covers, this one Spirit blesses, it sanctifies, it permeates, it immerses and anoints. In the fifth volume of Scripture Studies, page 214, you'll have a beautiful lesson on this. And this baptism of the Holy Spirit brings to you full assurance of faith. It brings peace of God, the peace of God that passes all human understanding. Humankind know nothing about this peace that you have. This is the peace that Jesus spake of. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. No, the world cannot give you peace. They do not have it themselves. They're clamoring for peace constantly, but they never find it. But you found it. You have the peace of God, the same peace that God possesses. And I'm sure that you believe that God is always peaceful, never upset, never perturbed. Even with all this carnage that's been upon the earth, and the extermination of 6 million Jews, still our Heavenly Father is always full of peace, peaceful. And He desires that you and I should have that same peace. That's the peace that Jesus had. That's the peace that Jesus said, I leave with you. I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let us always remember that. Therefore, we have the peace of God, and it came from that faith that you exercised in giving your heart to God. Therefore, St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:10, glorify God in your bodies. You're not your own. You do not belong to yourself anymore. You're not your own, but you're bought with a price. The blood of Christ. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and spirit, which is His. How beautiful these scriptures are. And St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, that your body is the temple of the living God. If the Spirit of God dwell in you, and ye are members of the body of Christ, and that's the church. What is the church? The building over there on that corner, or the other one? Bless your heart, no, never was. Jesus is the head to this body, which is the church. The ecclesia, the body of Christ. Isn't it wonderful to be a member of the Christ family? In the 139th Psalm, the 5th verse, the prophet David prophesied about these 11th hour virgins when he said that God laid His hand upon me. He's laid His hand upon you. You have nothing to fear. You need not fear any bombs or what Satan or the world may do. You're members of the Christ family, and God has laid His hand upon you. That's why St. Paul said we are a spectacle unto men and angels, a theatrical. You're on the stage. You're actors now. Don't you know that? You're a spectacle, a theatrical unto men and angels. And think how rich you are. God passed by all the cherubims, seraphims, principalities, and powers, the great men and the wise men, and the spiritual leaders of this earth, and He selected little you and little me. And we become a spectacle unto men and angels because you've given your heart to God. Now let us remember that Jesus was the first one to be baptized with a Christian baptism, the first one. And I call to mind, friends, what Jesus said, Mark 10:35-39. He said to His disciples, "Are ye able to be baptized with a baptism that I am baptized with?" One translation gives it, "the baptism that I'm being baptized with." And I think that's right. Are ye able? Of course you are. Of course you are. Many folks who come to me in my travels from coast to coast, and they'll say, "Oh, that's wonderful, brother. But I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to take a stand for the truth." Please don't say that. Don't ever say it. That's not right. It wouldn't be pleasing to God to say, "I'm not good enough." If the great God of the universe has been pleased to draw you unto the Lord Jesus, and He begins to open the eyes of your understanding, friends, remember, if you take the stand and accept Jesus as your personal Redeemer, and you give your little all, and that's your heart, to God, then you are good enough. But you say, why and how? Because Jesus will cover you with the robe of His righteousness. Now, do you feel good enough? If you had 20% merit and you lacked 80%, Jesus steps in and gives you that 80% or makes you 100%. Now, do you feel good enough? Who on earth since Jesus was good enough? None of us. None of us were good enough. There's none righteous, no, not any. We're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. by one man's disobedience sin entered the world, and death by sin. So that death passed upon all men. But to those whom our Heavenly Father draws to be members of the Christ family, Jesus steps in and he covers them. Isn't that a wonderful arrangement our Heavenly Father has? Then are we able? Well, yes. Jesus said, Ye shall be baptized with the baptism that I am being baptized with. Well, when did he say that? He said that just before his crucifixion. Well, he had been baptized at the River Jordan. That's right. But this baptism, friends, means to immerse our will into the will of God. And Jesus constantly immersed his will from the River Jordan up to the cross until he said, it is finished. What does it mean? My baptism is finished. Immersing his will into the will of God. And that's what you have done. And may it continue unto the very end, constantly immersing our will into the will of God. Yes, and then he said, ye shall drink of the cup that I shall drink of. Drink of that cup? Yes, it's a cup of joy commingled with sorrow. Well, why any sorrow? Ah, friends, because you and I have been called to this station. And you remember the scripture in the 8th chapter of Romans, 17th verse. If we're children of God, then heirs of God. Think, to be an heir of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Suffer with him? Well, I could suffer for him a little bit, but that won't do, friends. Don't say that. To suffer for him. It says to suffer with him. Suffer with him on the same offer of sacrifice. But you say, my sacrifice is so small, it's merely a penny's worth. And think of the sacrifice of Jesus. But God counts in that little sacrifice with Jesus. And if God is pleased to count in your sacrifice and my sacrifice with Jesus, let us not ask any questions about it. That's the plan of God, and it's taught from cover to cover. Let us never deny it. Those that suffer with him shall also reign with him. And those that suffer with him shall be glorified together. Are you willing to walk in the steps of Jesus? You may be persecuted. But the suffering, friends, is all for righteousness. Not for the aches and pains commonly the human family have, but suffering for righteousness. Suffer because you let your light shine. I see. That's the sufferings of Christ. Romans 12:1 we read, Paul speaking to the brethren, those that were on the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way is pictured by the court in the tabernacle. The truth is pictured by the holy in the tabernacle, and life in the most holy. There must be a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I beseech you, brethren, therefore, that by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You'll never find anything in the Bible that tells you it's all unreasonable. But everything that you do and everything that God asked us to do is reasonable. This is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, brethren, some may despise you because you've taken this stand, but count it all joy. Are you willing to suffer a little along that line? You may. Even some who are highly esteemed among you. But friends, always remember that if we suffer with him, we shall be glorified together. Jesus said, "Let him who is greatest among you be servant of all." Well, you say that's a very large order. But after all, friends, it isn't so large, because Jesus said, "Without me, he can do nothing." Don't ever try it. Without the Lord, you can do nothing. And when you pray, always pray in the name of Jesus. That's a command. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Luke 14:8. Jesus gave a parable and said, "When thou of any man art bidden to a wedding, take not the highest room, but take the lowest room." A back seat, so to speak. Take the lowest room. So that when he comes and bids thee, he may say, "Friend, go up higher." Then thou shalt have honor with all those that sit at meat with thee. In other words, don't make a beeline for the platform, or try to tell the church what to do. Take a back seat, be meek, and be taught. Then the Lord will gradually exalt you. Those are the words of Jesus. Oh, if many of the brethren would do that. What a blessing it be to them if they take the lowest room instead of clamoring constantly for the highest room. Don't do it. Our dear brother Russell said in the 6th volume, page 4, 36, that this class has given up their will and taken the will of God. The will represents the entire person. And the will has the control of the body. It controls the hands. It controls the feet, the eyes, and the brain. It has the control of the pocket, too. The bank account. The will. And all the real estate. It controls our time, our talent, our influence. And you have a great responsibility over your influence. Remember that. There is not a thing that we possess which does not properly come under the contract of our will. Our will. And hence, when we surrendered our will, as Jesus did when he came to the River Jordan, he said, "Father, come to do thy will, as written in the volume of the book of me." And so we did the same. We give up our human will, and we've taken the will of God. Or the scripture sometimes calls it our hearts. We've given our hearts to God. We've given our hearts to God, yes, we read so beautifully in the 145th Psalm. I will extol thy name, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and forever. How can we bless God? But you can. We down here upon the earth, yes. We're a spectacle unto men and angels, yes. Members of the Christ family, yes. And we can bless God, yes. How can I bless God? Morning, noon, and night. How can we do it? With that consecrated heart. That's the only thing you could give God that he would accept. Son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. I'll never understand God's ways unless we give our heart to God. Son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. The ways of righteousness, the ways of humility, the ways of meekness, the ways of consecration, the ways of holiness. Would you like to understand and know about God's ways? There's only one way, to give our hearts to God. Would he accept that? The only thing that he would accept. Son, give me thine heart. And when you gave your heart, you gave your all. Everything that you possess. Even your family. You gave it all. Well, then you say, I had nothing left. That's right. There's where the Lord wants you to be. Nothing left. You gave it all to God. But God, in turn, gives it back to you. But it don't belong to you, remember. It belongs to God. Everything that you have belongs to God. Now you've become a steward. And you must give an account of your stewardship, all of us. Isn't that right? You know that's right. And now we're going to be very careful how we're spent in the service before the Lord, because it all belongs to God. When we gave our hearts, we gave our all. Beautiful, isn't it? That's right. Son, give me thine heart. I love that. Romans 6:3-6. Beautiful thought. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? But don't say anything, friends, about being baptized into water, does it? No, that's right. Were baptized into his death. I see. Now let me read another scripture that'll help us. Ephesians 4:1-5. Therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, that's humility, and passive submission and active submission, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, always endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body. How many bodies? Oh, there's so many in the earth, but only one that God recognizes. Just one body. And all these are baptized into that one body. Baptized into Christ. The word Christ means anointed. Jesus was the first one to be anointed, and all the members are equally anointed. Therefore, there is one body, just one spirit, That spirit has been manifest here at this convention this week. It's the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of kindness, the Spirit of love, Spirit of the truth.